Hey, 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 how y'all doing? It's your girl, Dee Dee Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. I am back with another episode of The Core Queen Chat, and I got one of Carolina's finest, baddest chicks in the game on the show with me today. Y'all welcome my girl, Nikki Nicole.
Thank you for having me. If I know you were going to introduce me like that, I would have worn something different. I'm going to the movies tonight, so I wasn't ready. I'm not giving baddie today.
Listen, but it's okay. Baddies can wear whatever. You know it don't matter.
It's an attitude. It's a feeling.
Period. Right. Okay. Look. I am so excited to have you on the show. Finally, we got our dates together.
I'm excited to be here. I really am. Thank you for being patient.
And shout out to Chad for hooking this link up. Oh, yes. Chad, my boy Chad was here a few weeks ago.
He's amazing. My almost birthday twin. So really? That should tell you everything you need to know about my personality.
Now it makes sense. Y'all are definitely alive. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, for those of you who do not know who Nicole is, I will give y'all a little insight on who my girl is. Nicole Harris is a corporate change maker by day and a cultural curator by night. A Charlotte-based podcaster, storyteller, and creative strategist, she blends sharp insights with just the right amount of side eye. Mm-hmm. whether she's building a community through her boutique matchmaking brand or breaking down your favorite show like it owes her money, Nicole brings it warmth and a whole lot of realness to every mic she touches. Stay tuned for her upcoming shows, another music podcast, and We Got Y'all, two fresh takes that promise laughs, nostalgia, and the culture conversations you didn't know you needed. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Period. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I feel like we needed to drop some bombs. Right. That was good. Okay.
Yes, indeed. So I'm so interested in this matchmaking because, listen, this dating game is a little something.
It's a game. They be playing out here.
It is a game. They be playing. It is a game. Yes. So how did you get into matchmaking?
Okay. So honestly, I went to a birthday dinner with a friend, and there were several people there that were sharing their experiences with dating. And the general consensus was that there was like pee in the dating pool. And I didn't know that the struggle was so real for singles out here, you know, both male and female. Mm-hmm. And so a few of them talked about having consulted with matchmakers. And so I think my interest was initially piqued because I found out how much people were charging. I'm like, y'all paying that much to date somebody? but then I heard more about the process and I felt like there were gaps in it. And I think the person in me that works in change management in corporate, you know, I'm identifying these like operational inefficiencies. I'm like, there are some gaps here that could be filled. And so outside of the money, I wanted to take a more holistic approach to trying to find love for people. And so, you know, a lot of matchmakers, they will set you up on X amount of dates. You go on them. They're great. Mm-hmm. If it works out and you find someone, perfect. If not, they already got paid. And so we tried to approach it from a different vantage point where we do intentionally set people up, mm-hmm. but our goal is to create ongoing opportunities for you to connect in the event that the people that we've, you know, found for you are not a good fit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting because I remember maybe a year or so ago, there was a Black female matchmaker online and she pretty much quit. Mm. She said because of women.
Not too much of my girls. Okay.
Yeah. She said that it was just, she would find like great men for them, but they were just so picky.
Yeah.
Has that been your experience?
Yes. And so I will be honest, like this is a new venture for my business partner and myself. So mm-hmm. I am in a business relationship and I want to make sure I shout her out too. So hey, Monica.
Hey, Monica.
But yes, I will say that that has been, a little bit of a roadblock. So mm-hmm. before we jumped out there and started exclusively offering matchmaking services, we wanted to try to establish ourselves as like subject matter experts. Mm-hmm. And so we started hosting singles events in the in the area. And so what we are finding is that people picky is not the word that I would use. I try to choose my words carefully. I think that we can become very set in our ways if we've been single for so long and we are hyper independent. And so then we have this very like finite list of rules. Mm. And if they don't check all of these things, then, you know, it's hard for us to relax our standards. And I think the longer you've been single, the harder it is. So picky isn't the word. Particular, yes. Sometimes we can have exacting standards. And it's also like, again, you've been single this long. It's like, don't come interrupting my peace if you don't bring all this to the table. So I see both sides.
Okay.
But it's been a struggle. I'm
Oh man, listen, I'm trying to see, do I need to come, you know, get some of these services?
Come on, girl. Come on. You know, we'll offer you a good old discount.
Oh Lord, I'm scared. So what are some common misconceptions about matchmaking?
I think the main two would be that, like, one, that we are providing this magic service. Like, we're going to help you find the one. That is the goal, right? But it's a collaboration. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, we're not going to be in your relationship. It's going to be you and this person. And so we need your feedback. We need your insight. And we can only find you someone based on, like, how upfront and honest you are with us. So if we are matching the representative of you that you've sent to us, then they're not going to be a good fit because you've not given us all of the information that we need to, you know, make an informed decision.
Right.
I think that the other one is that people that engage with matchmakers are desperate. Sometimes people aren't desperate, they're just tired. You know what I mean? The dating game can be exhausting. You've tried online dating, or you're just so busy with your, you know, your work life that you don't have time to go out and meet people. Or even when you do, you don't know where to go.
Okay.
And so sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And it's like, I don't want to sit at a random bar on a Thursday night and hope that I find someone. Right. And so, yeah, I think those are the main things. People aren't desperate. Like, I love to cook and I grocery shop often. I can't tell you the last time I stepped in a grocery store. I have somebody drop my stuff off at the door because I don't want to do it anymore. I think sometimes we like convenience, and that's what I think that matchmaking can provide. It's the convenience of not having to go through the whole, like, rigmarole of dating all of these people that aren't necessarily a good match. So we're doing the work for you, but you still got to do some of the work too.
Lord, that's
heavy.
It just seems like, well, I guess that's, when we say dating with intention, that's intentional.
Yeah.
That's literally intentional. And it seems scary because that's the work up front.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be like, okay, I'm really serious about this. I'm paying for a service.
Yep.
And I have to actually do some work. It's just not, oh, well, I'll just go to the bar and maybe. Right. And then, no, you gotta
do the work. And, you know, our model is holistic in that, like, we are going to have an intake process that involves, like, a clinician, because some people don't need a date. You need therapy. You need to heal. Ooh. And we can't, in good conscience, take your money or match you with somebody when you haven't done the work. You know what I mean? And you're not really ready to be partnered. And so
as much as
I'd love to get some money, I'm not going to, you know, ruin my reputation by just putting someone that is not emotionally healed into this partnership with someone else. Wow. So
that's good.
Yeah,
that is good. That is
so ethical matchmaker. Right. I'm trying.
And that's funny that you say that, because it kind of reminds me of, like, when I do fitness consultations, it's the same thing. Like, wait a minute, you need to go talk to somebody. I can't help what's going
on. Girl,
I wouldn't
even come to you yet. Cause you'd be like, girl, you know what? If you're not going to get them sodas up, you're not ready.
I need you to do the work.
Listen, Instacart just dropped off some 12 packs today. So holler at me in July. Then I'm going to get
you. You know what? I can't. Oh my God, that is so good. I didn't even think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I need to take you with me everywhere.
Listen, I'm Chingy. I'm a phone call away, okay? I'm one call away.
So what are some unrealistic expectations that you've heard from, like, people that you're matchmaking that they want, and you're like, now, ma'am, now, sir?
I think that online dating and social media have made it hard for people to define what their ideal partner looks like, and to create a list of realistic expectations, right? Because I love me some Aldis Hodge, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, Luke James. Listen, I love them. I don't see them walking around Charlotte.
Listen.
And that is no shade to my Black kings. I love y'all. I love you. I really do. But I think, you know, we see what is out there. And so that's what we want. We aspire to have that. We expect that. And it's like, you got to be realistic. You know, culturally, regionally, there are going to be limitations based on where you are, like what you have access to. I think sometimes people want someone that makes a ton of money. They want someone that's 6'2". They make six figures. They are emotionally healed. They've never been married. They don't have kids. And so that, like, window, you know what I mean, just keeps getting smaller. That box of available people just continues to shrink. And so I think oftentimes people assume that they're looking for their equal, you know what I mean? Meaning, like, I make this amount of money, so someone should.
Right.
And that's not necessarily an unfair, you know, expectation, but it's like, they're not going to hit every point. And so I think just having relaxed standards in some areas is something that people have to work on. I'm guilty of it too. I'm not even gonna lie.
But I think most of us, when we're young, especially, we have such a superficial expectation of that man.
Yeah.
And then we're like, hold on, all you niggas is short.
Boom, shout out to the short kings.
Now I'm like, bring me one. Come on. Mm-mm. Come on. I don't care. Now, are you going to treat me right?
That's still a deal breaker for
me. Not for me. Are you going to treat me right?
And that's fair. I think mine is it's a different reason, but.
What's the reason?
Is this a PG-13 crowd or an X-rated crowd? Okay. So in my experience, there's a science and a correlation between, like, you know, height, size, penis size. And so there have been some short
kings. Not in my experience.
See,
they've all been, sorry.
Okay. So then the conversation becomes like, what is big to you? Because I think, you know, that looks different for everyone. But I just know for me, about 5'11", 6'2", little slim-ish build, they always get the job.
Well, the slim
done.
Ones always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Built like a praying mantis and just, you know.
Yeah. I will agree with that. Leg,
but
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not yet there at a point where I'm like, okay, I'm here for a short king. But, you know, God might slap me with his sandal and be like, girl, look.
I mean, because
You're 40.
I mean, girl, the odds are stacked against us here. It ain't a lot of them out there.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's another thing. You have to be okay in that discomfort of being alone if you know that you've got this very stringent list of things that you want, because you're chasing perfection. It doesn't exist. And so it's either going to take you coming to grips with the fact that you are chasing this ideal and not a reality, or you're going to be alone forever, or they're going to come along, but it's going to be, you know, a one in a million occurrence. Mm. And so you're going to have to wait on that.
Yeah. And you're probably going to be sharing. I mean, because if I, like I said earlier, before we got on camera, like, I've done the same thing over and over again and it's not working. So let's try something else.
They call that insanity. Yeah. They do the same thing, expecting a different ending. So,
and I don't think, and me looking at superficial, oh, you look this way, has gotten me nowhere.
Yeah. And that does fade. And so I do think, again, having some sort of, I won't say relaxed standards, just realistic standards about, like, what it is that you want, like what's important to you long term, because they can be fine now, but looks fade. Mm. Do they treat you well? Are they nice to other people? Like, what other things foundationally are important to you in the makeup of a good partner?
Absolutely. So,
you got to unpack that stuff. And I don't think people are ready to do it.
Yeah, and I think also when we're talking about, like, these slim standards, like the height and the color, the money, all of that stuff, men know that that's what we want. Mm-hmm. And that's why they feel like they have options. So they don't have to give us what we want, because I'm the prize.
Yeah.
So I can sleep with whoever I want and you just going to deal with it because this is what you want.
Listen, and I feel like, up until a few years ago, there were some men that saw themselves as the prize, but were still dating with intention. And then Kevin Samuels came out here, may he rot. And people then saw themselves as the prize. And listen, I want people to see themselves in the best light. You know what I mean? You should be your biggest cheerleader. But the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And so you out here want women to chase you.
That's what it says.
And that's not how it's supposed to work. But, you know, you like it, I love it. People know when I say that I don't love it, but it's your life. It's your life, so.
I agree with you. I think that social media has given so many people an opinion that we don't need to hear. And people might think that about me. I don't care. But I think when it comes to these expectations, it's just like, in my opinion, it's just, you don't have to bash somebody about them, but let's just be realistic about it. Like, and like you said, even if it doesn't work for them, if they're okay with being alone, who cares what their standards are? They cool with it. Mm-hmm. They know they may not never get it. Let them be.
That's it. That's all you can do.
So do you believe that childhood trauma, because I wrote a book about this, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma, shameless plug.
It's not shameless.
No, I'm joking.
Love that book.
Do you think that childhood trauma plays a role in how, like, romantic relationships play out?
Absolutely. I think that can be a factor. And I think a lot of times when people hear childhood trauma, they immediately go to, like, what happened in the home, like how your parents treated you. And that can manifest itself in, you know, your romantic relationship. So, like, I think if you had active parents and, you know, a very secure foundation, then you're going to have a more secure attachment style, mm-hmm. right? And so you're going to probably be a little bit more communicative in your relationships and be healthy. I think if your parents were neglectful or absent, you may have more of a, you know, an anxious attachment style mm-hmm. because it's like you're seeking that validation, that love from people because you didn't get it in the mm-hmm. past. But I also think sometimes your childhood trauma can come from friends and peers. So if mm-hmm. you're bullied, you know what I mean? Because of the way you look, if you finally grow into your looks mm-hmm. and now you are making a certain amount of money, then it's like, I think that you're trying to make that little boy that no one loved feel good because now you got it. And so it's like, fuck all these women, you know what yep. I mean? And so, yeah, I do think it can show up. And I don't think people are introspective often enough to see the pattern mm-hmm. and unpack what's going on. And so like there are some things that parents have done in the past that are for sure unforgivable. I think sometimes parents did the best they could right. with the tools that they had. And so yeah. I don't think, you know, the solution is blaming them all of the time, mm-hmm. but I do think, you know, maybe go talk to the lady, like knowing that the childhood trauma exists and doing nothing is
abusive.
It's huge. Yeah, it's abusive to you. It's abusive to future partners. Yeah. And I think it continues to create more cycles of trauma for people.
Absolutely. I agree. That's good. I like how you integrated like other people, not just because I think people automatically mm-hmm. when they hear childhood, they think parent.
Yeah.
And they're even like other family members or even like maybe young relationships.
Yeah.
When you were younger and you were in an early relationship, it may not have been serious, but just the way you interacted with those people can trigger some things, because I know I was married very young mm-hmm. and I was with him very young. So it's like some of that stuff is like, whoo, hold on.
100%.
PTSD.
Are you able to identify those triggers?
Okay. Yeah. And now I am.
Okay.
Before I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that I was lashing out on people, that mm-hmm. I was like really bitter and mean and I couldn't stand men. Like I would treat them like shit. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh,
I mean, sometimes
man.
I need it. I'm just kidding.
And no, these were like really good. These are really good guys.
Yeah.
What we got? Chad.
Oh, Lord.
I was once told that our love languages are what we didn't have as children.
I've heard that too. I think I saw that online not too long ago.
And I agree
with that.
That
may be true. And you know what? So I've taken the love language quiz before mm-hmm. and gifts ranks zero on mine. Like a zero out of whatever the score wow. is. Now, don't get it twisted.
You better buy me some shit.
Get me some shit, right? I still like things. But I think because I have been so hyper independent, I buy myself a lot of things. And, yeah. you know, there wasn't a lot that I didn't want for because my parents did spoil me. Mm-hmm. And so I think at times being a child of divorce, I didn't always get to see my parents. And so mm-hmm. quality time is my love language, right? And so now that I'm connecting the dots, shout out birthday twin. I think that, you know, there's yeah. some truth to that.
I agree. That's major, Chad. Good observation. That's good. I like that. Cause I just thought about it. I'm like, that makes mm-hmm. a lot of sense. Cause mine's quality time and gifts.
Yeah.
And I didn't get either mm-hmm. as a kid. So that's probably why. That's good. Go ahead, Chad. You better come through with a good old here. Word on this good Wednesday night.
I love that for us.
That was good. Okay. So.
You got me nervous. This one, the Birdman Nero. I don't know what to make of it. Okay.
Age gap dating. Do you think that is a trauma response?
I think that it can be either, neither, or both sometimes. And so what I mean by that is if you are someone that is constantly dating someone younger and or older than you, I think that there may be something that happened in your past that's causing that. So like that parentification, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that neglect that you may have received when you were a child, you're looking for someone to fill that void mm-hmm. because your parents weren't there. So you date older. Conversely, you know, maybe you just want to control because that's what you're used to. So mm-hmm. I think it can be a childhood trauma response. I think sometimes people have preferences and it's like, we've got shared values and that's mm-hmm. what we connected on. But it's also like, you can't be 51 and you're only dating 18-year-olds.
That's
you know
weird.
What I mean? I think that's unhealthy. That's and so that's a unhealthy. Pattern and that's low key predatory. Right.
Absolutely.
And so I don't even mm-hmm. know if that's like childhood trauma, but I think sometimes again, because of that neglect that people may have, you know, experienced as kids, they think, oh my God, this older person sees me as mature. And so they gravitate towards them because they feel seen, and the whole time they don't know that they're being preyed upon.
Damn.
And so it's a whole can of worms. So I think it can be a little bit of both
yeah.
or neither, but I think you have to explore and ask those questions about mm-hmm. why. And I think why is an important question to ask anytime you're in a relationship, yeah, right? You
absolutely.
Need to unpack
ask
how
questions.
We arrived here. Is it worth it? Just, you know, do a little check in with yourself, yeah. evaluate if it's working. So if it constantly happens, it may be an issue. You
That's
may need
interesting.
To go to county.
Because you mentioned Kevin Samuels earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to go back to some of his videos, he bashed older women
mm-hmm.
and praised younger women as if like we are no more valuable unless we're young.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so a 10-year, I'm going to say, yeah, 10-year gap age group, like from 20 to 29. That's the only time women are valuable?
Right.
I'm like, damn.
You just age out of being valued just, after
it's crazy.
30-something. That is insanity to me.
Yeah. And I think this is what right now I believe in this era, I don't want to say generation, this mm-hmm. era of time that we're in, I believe in my heart that that is the reason why dating is so off. Because like if I'm talking to one of my friends and he's 47, 48 years old, and all of these young girls like 29, 30, 31 are attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, the same thing with me, 46, 47 years old and 30, 31, 32 year old guys. What is happening that these 30 something year olds don't like each other?
Right.
Us 40 something year olds don't like each other. What is happening?
That's a good question. Sometimes I feel like we've experienced so much in this like very small generation. We've gone through a lot of collective trauma.
Yes.
And so I think sometimes it's hard because it's like, I don't even know who to go to like unload because you're experiencing the same things. You know yeah. what I mean? Like you deal with coworkers and you're like, oh, these microaggressions. And you know, now y'all are unpacking this. And sometimes these Gen Xers, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I tell yeah. my boss whatever, because they are a different breed. And so yeah. I think sometimes having that like opposing force is nice for people because mm. it's like relationships are already work. I don't want to feel like I'm working on doing all of this for yeah. me and you doing the heavy lifting. But that's a good question, because I do feel like there's such a huge gap now that people in the middle aren't meeting one another. And it's like this extreme.
Yeah.
And that does need to be studied. Now I'm going to go home and do a yeah. little research.
Because somebody approached me and said that one of the reasons they believe that younger guys like older women is because this generation doesn't really value like family or having children. And they find older women like, shit, she already got her family. I don't have to do that. I can just mm-hmm. go have fun with her. And I'm not being pressured
yeah.
to have a baby right now, get married right now by the people in my age group.
That's fair. And I think that's a conversation that was trending online. And, you know, it kind of goes through these like cycles where people are like, why don't we have marriages like our grandparents? Right.
Well, I don't want one.
And
like that.
That's
sorry.
The thing though. No one ever talks about marriages like their parents. And this is not to shade our entire generation as if to say none of our parents had healthy marriages, but it's right. like, you know, our grandparents did for the most part stay together.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't understand is like our grandmothers were oftentimes tethered, meaning like mm-hmm. they didn't have access to funding, yep. finances, anything without him.
Yeah.
And so they were in this marriage. They're happy on the surface. You know what I mean? Hmm. They're having these kids. Sure. And it was a more traditional
yep.
structure. He's taking care of home, or she's taking care of home. He's paying the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But Granddaddy Earl might've been cheating and had a whole family on the side, but you know what? He's paying the bills for both. Now mm-hmm. you want us to come and be 50-50 and you want me to cook, you know, wake up at 3 a.m., make a sandwich, yep. even though I got to get up at 6 to go to work too and yeah. have kids. And so I think there is this like disparity when it comes to expectations and like who's supposed to do what.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I do think our parents saw so much that they developed trauma responses of their own. And so now that they're hyper independent, I think that shaped a lot of who we are
yeah.
and how we approach relationships, and it makes it harder. And so I think we're seeking things that we didn't get from our parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In our partners. And that's our goal going older or younger.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
Child.
And I think also like when you mentioned like the grandparents and pretty much that women not really having a choice, they mm-hmm. had to be married. When we were able to have a choice, chose not to be.
Yeah.
So I really wish men would like take that with a grain of salt
mm-hmm.
and let's figure out why.
Yeah.
What is happening to where women chose to be by themselves
mm-hmm.
rather than to be tethered to you?
Yeah. Let's unpack that instead of placing blame because we would rather be alone.
Yeah.
Like let's talk about the why. That's my favorite question to ask. Cause I saw something on TikTok not too long ago. The girl was saying that, you know, men for so long have been saying, choose better men, choose better men. And now a lot of women are praising Deontay Kyle. I don't know if you watch, you know, like the, I won't say it's called the Grits and Eggs podcast, but he's a dope dude that is very militant pro woman. And so now he is simp because he stands up for women. And so it's like, we choose better. We tell you who we want you to be like, and they are simp. And so it's like, y'all just, a lot of you don't like women. And that is not me generalizing or bashing all black men. That is not the case. Because again, some of our grandparents, even though they were tethered, were very happy. So I don't want it to make it seem like everybody was unhappy you know what I mean? Black men hate black women. That's not what I'm saying. I just feel like we're not having important conversations to figure out how to be solutions oriented. But there's a problem, right?
Yeah.
So how do we solve it? Blaming each other isn't the solution.
It's not it.
So how do we get to some sort of resolution?
And I think one of the things that we need to stop doing is acting as if social media is a real place.
Child's about to say, stop taking it to the social media streets.
Like, it's not a real place, because if I go out right now, I'm not being disrespected by men.
Right.
Like, they respect me. They come up, have a conversation with me. Like, there, it's not all of this discourse like it is on social media, because people would just never have those. People don't have the balls to confront you like that anyway.
Correct.
So it's just like, can we start with acting as if we are really like living a real life and then not put on this facade for clicks and likes and all that crap? It's just ridiculous. And this generation, it's just sad to see the amount of people who are just at it all the time. I'm like, ain't no way y'all don't like each other this much.
Right. And I'm a firm believer, you know, all skin folk, you know, ain't kin folk, but I'm also very big on keeping our business in the house. And so I'm like, this is what people think when they think about us, because every time we have an issue, we go on a diatribe online, and now we're going back and forth. And the truth is somewhere in the middle. But what people have taken away from that is that we hate each other, and that gives them license to hate us too. And so it's just it's unhelpful. It's unhealthy. And to your point, it's unrealistic, because you can go out and not be disrespected, have a great time, you know what I mean? And men are, meet some great guys.
Yeah, and they're real gentlemen. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Or maybe, like, and one thing that Dr. Umar said, which he a little off to
that's
a bit.
That's another conversation for another day. Yeah,
but he did say, now this is where he had black women, well, he always represents black women well, but he mentioned when somebody said women need to choose better, he said there shouldn't be bad choices. Now, what are we as men doing to make sure that the men we're raising aren't bad choices? There shouldn't be any. And why is it an overwhelming amount?
Because the sheer volume of like male friends that I've had conversations with that don't want their daughters to date people like them is staggering.
That's awful.
And that is the problem. Like, if you wouldn't want your daughter to date you, why are you dating people as you? Like, why are you showing up as this person that you know you wouldn't want for your daughter, your, you know, sister, your whomever? So,
wow. Can you put that comment up? What's up, Justin? Justin said, do you think having a life partner would be better than being married in the current ideologies of it? You know, I think that. Y'all know I am against marriage 1,000%.
Well, I mean,
for me,
as a matchmaker, I feel like that's detrimental to the brand to say yes.
Well,
right?
Of course.
But I think it's different strokes for different folks. I don't necessarily aspire to be married, but I think that's where having conversations with your partner are important, because some people want that marriage structure. They want those transactional, you know, like, norms, those roles where you go outside and work and I take care of home, and that works for them. I think it's circumstantial. It depends on your person. Yeah. I think that's what's important, instead of trying to like force a square peg into a round hole, figuring out what works for you. Because again, we get online and we talk about, 50-50. That's the thing. Some people that are fine with that. There are some people that will pay all the bills. Find that person.
If somebody pay half these bills, please listen.
You can pay all of them. Yes. And then I might get up at 3 a.m. and make a sandwich.
Listen,
like,
I've made a sandwich for a bum before, so I'm sure. I'm sure I could make a sandwich for somebody paying half
these
bills.
But that's the thing. You know, it's like you want everyone to be the same person, and we're not, you know, we're not a monolith. It's not one size fits all.
Sorry.
But it's people that'll do it. Find them.
That's my thing. Stop trying to make me do something I don't want to do.
That's all I'm saying. I think that's it. That's what your life partner is. And so I think, you know, marriage, if someone tells you on the first date, I want to be married, bye. If that's not what you want.
That's going to be the last conversation
we have. It was very nice to meet you.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
we splitting this check or what? You know,
right. 50-50
on the check.
It's cool. Whatever.
And I feel like women should pay the check then because it's a power move. But, you know.
I mean, that's what I do. I got it.
No worries.
Yeah. And see, because my daughter's getting married June 27th. Mm-hmm. I am so happy for her.
Right.
I raised a wife. I was a wife once, but it don't count.
Now you deleted your wife. I know Drea said you could delete your wholeness. I didn't know you deleted your wife.
I love my ex-husband. He's amazing. Him and his wife are great. We're friends. We're good. But marriage for me, the legal part of marriage is not for me. I definitely will want a committed relationship and we can live like we're married.
Yeah.
I just don't want the paper.
And see, that's so funny because if I were to get married, it's more for the financial benefits, because it's like, it's a business, right? Mm-hmm. And so like all of the things that like we've built together, I want to ensure.
I can get a will and a power of attorney.
That's true. But I just want to make sure
I just don't want
that we locked in. And that's fair. But yeah. I think that's one of the things that sometimes people overlook, that those things exist without marriage. But I think sometimes people aren't going to give it to you without that license, but you have to have those conversations early on.
Yeah, I'm good. Let me see. What's this? Chat said, on the count of three, I need everybody to date like people that want like them and are the on the same page. Well, here's the thing with that too. And I'll say this from experience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think we are.
Yeah.
They send their representative.
You think people like you and whole time they can't stand your ass. Ooh. They like what you can do for them. They like the access or proximity to other people that you give them, but they don't like you. And you can ask them straight up, Dee, do you like me? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Lying straight to your face. Yeah. But yes, it could all be so simple.
Yeah.
But
because I mean, how many times have you talked to women who felt like they were in this amazing relationship and like a year later, you're like, well, you don't even like me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, what did I do?
Yeah.
That is awful. Just sending a representative. And then you have women doing the same thing to men. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just trying to go get this free meal. I'm just trying to get some bills paid. But they can put up a front.
Mm-hmm.
And you think they like you.
And honestly, I applaud people on both sides. I don't have the temperament, the time, or the bandwidth to sit there and pretend to like someone, because my time is so valuable that I'm not going to sit here for a meal that I could pay for myself and laugh at jokes that aren't landing because I need you to feed me some steak. I got it.
Yeah. Like, my face gonna tell it anyway.
Same. And don't let the drinks be flowing. You really gonna know. I think that I'm putting up a good front until a little tequila
like,
get in me.
Wrong? It's like, you getting on my nerves. That's what Justin say? It's not you, it's what did he say? It's not you, it's your benefits. Listen, exactly. Because I'm not sharing nothing. No, you're not getting on my medical, none of that. Don't mess up my disability status with the military. Very stop. No, I don't want to merge anything. I don't like people like that, long enough. And if I got married, I'm not. But if I did, we can't stay in the same house either. We got to stay in different houses.
I used to want at least different rooms. I don't know what it would look like now, but I think if I got married, I would still at 5 years have a check-in and be like, do we still like each other? Do we still want to do this? Like, see? I know it's supposed to be, you know, finite and forever, but it's like you evolve constantly. And so the person that you married and the person I am 5 years later could be completely different.
Completely.
And to our point, like you may not like me. And because we, you know, are bound by God, it doesn't mean you got to say divorce is a thing. So if you don't like me no more, let's just separate everything and go. But
marriage license should be like driver's license. They should expire.
Have to renew them.
Yeah, you have to renew.
I love it.
Yep.
I
think
all
we should write Congress.
Listen, I'm second on the line, signing right after you.
So what are some qualities that seem to limit someone's abilities to be like something that they have that limits your ability to matchmake them?
They're inflexible. Again, I think they're looking for that perfection. And so I think that's one thing, because they know what they want. It doesn't exist, but they still expect you to find it. It's like, nigga, you didn't find it. So how am I gonna find it? So it's like, let's have a conversation about what exists, what's real. And then I think people aren't necessarily self-aware about what they have the capacity to give, be it financial, time. And so relationships require a lot of work. Yeah. And, you know, if you're on the go now, having someone that you just expect to fit into that life, you know, is going to require a very special type of person, a very specific type of person. Yeah. If you want someone whose love language is quality time, and their version of quality time isn't just hanging out. Because for me, quality time can be us watching the game, right? Mm-hmm. Because the time that we spend together is the quality, not necessarily what we do. Right. But if someone's like, no, I want us to go on dates, that's not going to work, because you want them to, you know, be woven into your existing life. And it's like, you're not holding space or making room for them. And so I think understanding that when you do merge, that you have to come up with a life that works for both of you. And they're not just, coming into whatever you're doing, right, you know, existing. And it's like this plug and play relationship. It's like, no, this is a whole person.
Right.
they had things going on, and, you know, you guys have to figure out how to come up with a balance, you know what I mean? A happy medium. And so I think a lot of times people are unflexible or inflexible, and just aren't really willing to do the work.
And that's why I'm assuming that's why they come to you thinking that you're going to wave this magic wand and she can make it happen.
Bippity boo. I've been on a little Disney kick. So yeah, I think I got a wand and I'm just going to be like, here's your person. And baby, sometimes y'all are single for a reason, and that's okay. It doesn't mean we can't find someone. It just means that there's a lot to unpack. You know what I mean? Ooh. There's a lot of work we have to do collaboratively to help you find somebody.
And I would assume that would be, it's probably the first time somebody's actually put a mirror up to them. Like, I have this list. Okay, but do you qualify for the things on this list?
Right.
Let's go through that. Let's break that down.
It's hard.
Ooh, that's a lot of work, honey. No, thank you. So what are some common deal breakers? Like that people come to you and say, all right, this is a deal breaker for me. I don't want this. Because I hear a lot about deal breakers.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, like, it's mostly superficial, which is unfortunate, right? So it's like, if they're not this height, if they're, you know, not in shape, if they don't make a certain salary, these are deal breakers. And you like what you like. But it's also like, what if they check every other box and then this is a but? You know what I mean? Because I was going to say you can't change someone's height, but there is a doctor in Miami that's installing little knee lifts. And so
your kid's still going to be short. So.
That's a fact. So, I mean, I think it's, you got to figure out what, you know, is most important to you. And if the relationship is sustainable, you know, in the absence of this one thing, I don't think that you are supposed to make concessions on everything on this, because then, you know, I think ultimately you're going to be unhappy because you're like, this isn't what I wanted, you know what I mean? Yeah. At all. And I've conformed to make this work. And so, yeah, I think mostly superficial, which is another conversation people need to have, because that fades, right? And it's like, you don't even know the core values that you want your partner to possess. Mm. You know what I mean? You don't know, you know, fundamentally how you want them to think, you know what I mean? Right. Like emotional intelligence. These aren't even things that people think about. They say it, but it's like, what does that look like to you?
Yeah.
And then you find out they're not effective communicators. And so now you're mad because they don't know why you're mad. And it's like, well, you got to talk to them too, baby. Like it takes two.
Yeah.
So yeah, mostly superficial. That's because people don't even know what they want. Yeah. This is all here. We're trying to do the Lord's work.
Oh, just my goodness. They want y'all to really part the Red Sea. My goodness.
Man.
Oh, that's tough. That is tough. So what advice would you give someone that wants to join the matchmaking process, but they're very apprehensive about it?
That you're here for a reason. There is a book called The Way We're Working Isn't Working, right? And so it examines like what you're doing at work that's not getting you to that next level professionally. And so I think you're here for a reason, like the way you're dating hasn't been successful. So I would advise them to be open, receptive to the process, and, you know, to shut up a little bit, like let us do our job. And it is a collaboration, but I think, again, let us hold that mirror up and have those conversations to understand how we arrived at this point, why you're single, and figure out how we navigate this together to help you find someone that's good for you.
That's good. Shut up.
Sometimes you gotta shut up.
Oh, that's a long comment. What did you say? Okay. I think we should look at people like a pizza. Okay. Crust is their qualities, what makes them an overall good person. Sauce is what qualities make you a better person. How do they add value to your life? And toppings are the things that make them appealing, being attractive and sexually compatible with
them. I'm going to steal that, Justin. All right.
Okay.
I like it. That's okay. That's an interesting analogy.
Well, can you find me a pizza?
Right.
A lot of times we look straight at the top. Yes.
We do.
We should focus on the crust. The crust is my favorite part of the pizza.
Girl, and I'd be ripping that off.
That's my favorite part because I don't eat any toppings.
Oh, okay.
I don't put nothing on it.
That's a dope analogy, though.
It is. I like that, Justin. Go ahead, Justin.
I'm about to steal
the army ain't as bad as this. I thought it was. You know, y'all a little smart. Let me stop. Okay, so my last two questions.
Okay.
I ask every guest these same two questions. What is some of the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, some of the best advice that I have ever received is, you're enough.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times people are looking for someone to complete them, right? But you're a whole person already.
Yes.
Devoid of anyone else. And so I think you need to look for someone that complements you,
yeah,
that fills your life in other ways. Mm-hmm. But you should not feel like this person is a missing part of you because you're always going to be like seeking something and seeking validation from them. And they can't give that to you. They can add happiness to your life, but they can't necessarily make you happy. You have to be happy first. So you are enough. I think that's the best advice.
That's good. And what dating advice would you give 15-year-old Nikki?
Bitch, you are not Bob the Builder. Okay. I think as a Libra, I like balance. I'm a Libra. So I like balance. I like to try to work things out. And I think in the past, I think trying to be the fixer has been like detriment to me. And so yeah, that's it. Can we fix it? Maybe, but bitch, get them the tools.
I'm not fixing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be the advice I would give myself. Now come potential. I'm not doing potential
all
at 40.
All the way.
We don't do potential.
No, I don't have time. When's your birthday?
September 24th.
Wow, September 30th.
Ooh, I love a September Libra. Okay.
Yes, we bring balance to people's lives.
Period.
Nikki, you are amazing.
Thank you. This was so much fun. I, am working on some podcasts, but I haven't like dove back in completely. So this was a nice like reintroduction.
Yes.
So much fun. You made it very easy.
Thank you. That's good. I'm glad you enjoyed. This was
I loved
good.
It.
This was some good information. Very
Thank
insightful.
You. Thank
very
you.
Insightful. I'm probably never dating, but no, I'm joking. I definitely need to come to some of your events
because
you see what's happening in the city.
Then we'll see. I'll send you the info.
Yes.
Yes.
But listen, this is the time of the show where I let you tell people what you got going on, what you got coming up, how they can follow you, all that good stuff. That's your camera right there.
Okay. Well, you guys can find me at Your Charlotte BFF. And you can find the business. It's Melanin Love Journey, all spelled out. It's a long one. But love is a journey.
I like that.
We actually have our 1-year anniversary event coming up. It's going to be at Royal Tot on June 28th. So follow, like, and come to the events. And if you have interest in being matched with someone, please shoot us a DM. We're going to be doing a lot more intentional based matching soon. So find us, shout us out, let us know.
Yes, come on, intentional
matchmaking.
Let's go. Well, y'all know I'm Dee Dee Legette, aka the Core Queen. I love doing the Core Queen chat and having amazing guests like this. I'll be back next week, I think. Yes, I got a doctor coming on next week. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about some stuff, the doctor. So make sure y'all tune in. Make sure y'all go to my YouTube channel, the Core Queen Chat. I need y'all to subscribe to the channel, like, comment, share it with your people, let people know we're here every Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Please join the conversation. You can call in. You can comment. I love to hear the people in the comments perspective. And y'all know your girl, I'm a published author now.
Yay.
Got my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. Y'all can get it on my website, thecorequeen.com/book, or you can get it on Amazon. If you get it on Amazon, please leave me a review so everybody can know about my book. This is a very personal book. It took a lot to write this book to expose some of the stuff that I exposed in here, but I'm very happy I did. And I'm hoping that I help some other people. Y'all know how to follow me, Dee Dee Legette on all platforms, the Core Queen on all platforms for fitness. If you need a fitness coach, nutritionist, glute specialist, all that good stuff. I got a lot of stuff coming up. I don't even like telling it all because it's just too damn much. So y'all, but one very serious thing, could y'all please send a quick prayer to my family? Tomorrow I'm flying home to Bristol, PA to bury my baby cousin, Alyssa Legette. So shout out to her mom, Christine, for staying strong. I can't even imagine. She was only 24 years old. So y'all just keep us in y'all prayer as we lay her to rest tomorrow. And I'll be back Saturday. Pray for my safe flight there and back. I appreciate y'all for always tuning in and supporting your girl. And I'll be back next week. Bye, y'all.